אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום, אוסטרליה. Tens of thousands of Israelis are still gathered in Jerusalem's Gan Sacha in protest against the government's plans to overhaul the judicial system. Some of them arrived yesterday after a four-day march from Tel Aviv. Other Israelis will be praying at the Kotel in a few hours, with the message being the end to intercommunal hatred. Protesters have vowed not to take the pressure off the government unless it backs down from its current legislative proposals. The second and third reading on the bill, an amendment to basic law, the judiciary, will begin today in the Knesset plenum and could be approved and passed into law on Monday or Tuesday. The bill would ban the Supreme Court and lower courts from using the reasonableness standard to review decisions made by the government and cabinet ministers. Proponents say the bar on the use of the doctrine is needed to halt judicial interference in government decisions, arguing that it amounts to unelected judges substituting their own judgment for that of elected officials. Opponents argue that the legislation will weaken the court's ability to review decisions that harm civil rights and hinder its ability to protect the independence of senior civil servants. The measure is the first step in the government's plan to remake the judiciary. Dozens of people were arrested on Tuesday as another national day of mass protests against the government's push to overhaul the judiciary continued late into the night, with police deploying water cannons and mounted officers to clear demonstrators blocking roads. Tens of thousands took to the streets throughout the country, with protests taking on fresh urgency amid the coalition's move to pass within days the law curbing court's oversight of government decisions. 45 people were arrested throughout the day. 161 reservists filling key roles across the Israeli Air Force on Tuesday said they were suspending their voluntary reserve duty, effective immediately, claiming that the government's plans to overhaul the judiciary were turning the country into a dictatorship. By Friday, the number had risen to 1,142 active duty reservists in the Air Force alone. Hundreds of other reservists signed a declaration near military headquarters in Tel Aviv on Wednesday, announcing they would no longer show up for voluntary service, reserve duty service, in protest of the government's advancing its plans to overhaul the judiciary. Also on Wednesday, some 300 reservists in the IDF Medical Corps announced they were suspending their voluntary reserve duty. The Brothers in Arms organization announced yesterday that the number of volunteers for reserve duty who will no longer serve had risen to 10,000. Defense officials, including IDF head Chezi Halevi, was warning the government that the growing phenomenon could affect national preparedness in case of an attack. Diaspora Affairs Minister Amichai Chikli yesterday compared the reservist action to a mafia extortion racket. However, Nadav Agaman, who led the Shin Bet until October 2021, on Thursday offered his support for army reservists who were threatening to stop showing up for duty, saying the legislation proposed would bring about regime change that nullifies the reservist's obligation. And former Shin Bet chief Yuval Diskin supported the decision not to volunteer at the Tel Aviv rally last night. He said, "My brothers and sisters who have saved our state on the battlefield from our enemies, the battle today is for the nature of the state against those who are seeking to destroy its foundations and its values. Suspending voluntary reserve service is certainly an irregular step, but it is a legal, democratic and non-violent step, and above all, it is a heroic step." On Thursday, the Israel Bar Association held an emergency meeting to discuss the ramifications of the government proceeding with its controversial judicial overhaul. Newly elected IBA chief Amit Becher, who ran on an anti-overhaul platform, described the proposed legislation as an assassination on Israel's democracy. Former Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit warned that the government will definitely not stop there. He said that the government wants to completely destroy the independence of the judiciary, including the last line of defense of Israel's democracy, the Supreme Court. Healthcare workers staged a two-hour strike on Wednesday morning and held rallies outside hospitals to protest the legislative push. The Israeli Medical Association called the action a warning strike, threatening further action if the legislation isn't halted. Hundreds of anti-government protesters began making their way on foot from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on Tuesday, with more joining them along their route on Wednesday and Thursday. The protesters paused their self-styled pilgrimage on Friday evening to welcome Shabbat with a communal meal, then regrouped before the final leg of their journey. The march, which began with just a handful of people, swelled to thousands. After spending Friday night at Shoresh outside Jerusalem, the marchers ate breakfast donated by supporters before beginning their climb up to the capital yesterday morning. In addition to them, the tens of thousands of Jerusalemites joined them last night, and rallies were also held around the country. About a quarter of a million Israelis were in the streets protesting. The protest at Gan Sacha had a sense of urgency, but also a determination and confidence in the strength of Israelis' commitment to democracy. President Yitzhak Herzog addressed a joint session of the U.S. Congress on Wednesday and emphasized that Israel's democracy is based on an independent judiciary. In his 41-minute speech, which elicited 30 standing ovations, he said he was doing everything he could to secure consensus for legal reforms that the government is advancing. The speech to lawmakers from both bodies of Congress was the second ever by an Israeli president. The last was 35 years ago by Herzog's father, Chaim. Seven Democrats boycotted Herzog's speech. One of them, Palestinian-American Representative Rashida Tlaib, branded Israel as an apartheid state in remarks on Tuesday. Senator Bernie Sanders stayed out of the chamber for the speech, saying in a statement afterwards, "It's no great secret that I strongly oppose the policies of Israel's right-wing, anti-Palestinian government. We provide them with $3.8 billion in aid. We have a right to demand that they respect human rights." Other progressives were on site, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, who warmly shook Herzog's hand before he reached the podium. On Tuesday, U.S. President Joe Biden met with President Herzog in Washington. After the meeting, he told New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman that Israel's leaders need to slow down their divisive overhaul of the judiciary and instead strive to achieve a broad consensus with opposition parties on the issue, warning that the special relationship between the two countries could sustain irreparable damage. Friedman wrote, "The president is trying to be respectful of Israel's right to choose its own path without its American ally intervening in an internal matter, while at the same time making clear how the developments could affect Israel's relations with the U.S. Several Israeli universities have announced that they will not comply with a new civil service directive that would oblige them to scrap the practice of using masculine-feminine suffixes when publishing job tenders and employ only the masculine form. The directive, published last week by Civil Services Commissioner Daniel Hershkovitz, cited the Hebrew Language Academy in stating that the masculine form is also used as a neutral non-gendered form. Tel Aviv University said in a statement, in response to the Civil Service Commission's directive, the university announces that it would uphold its practice of publishing tenders that address men and women equally and respectfully and will continue to put out official publications in gender-inclusive language. Ben-Gurion University of the Negev and the University of Haifa put out similar statements, asserting that they would continue to publish tenders using explicitly gender-inclusive language. The Bezalel Academy of Arts and Designs went a step further, saying in a statement that in protest of the directive, in the coming month, Bezalel will use only the feminine form in all its publications. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.